Amen. All right. Well, I know three loud little munchkins will be there too. So if you don't know if you're at the right place, just go like this and you'll hear my son screaming and you'll hear the girls yelling and then you'll know where the prayer's about to be. On that note, let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus and we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father God, we pray that as we open the word this morning, that you would speak to us by your Spirit, and that you would speak through us to each other. We thank you, Lord God, that you have set aside this place, Lord, and anointed this place as a place of worship, and a place to draw close to you and draw close to each other. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. We've been here the last 2 weeks, but we were gone for 6 weeks, and it just felt so long. We had a ministry trip here, and then a long trip with the kiddos, and then another ministry trip at the end. But we went out to the Creation Museum in Kentucky with the kiddos, and it was special. And because we do homeschool with the kids, on the way there, we kind of traced the Oregon Trail Pioneer Route and just stopped at every museum we could. And we stopped at museums that we couldn't visit. They were closed. But it was a special trip. We got to minister to two different families along the way that we just, hey, let's call these people. I think they're in this state. And got to go minister and pray with them. But then go to the Creation Museum. I guess growing up in the Bay Area, you get this mentality of being so alone and constantly being having to listen to the world's way of looking at things. And what a joy to walk in with your wife and kids into a place where there's other brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's just declaring the glories of the Lord and His handiwork. And the kids on our last day at the Creation Museum, we had already walked through it, read every little plaque and stuff. They must have ran through that thing two or three times. Daddy, can we just run through one more time? Okay, don't run into anybody. And they were just going nuts there. And on the way back, it was a very special thing. My parents went to Bible college in Oklahoma. And we were there for 2 years when I was 8 years old to 10. And I hadn't been back for 39 years. And so we went there and I got to see the Bible college. And I think it's good in life to revisit some places where God moved in your family. And it's amazing the things that come back to you. You remember God's faithfulness, getting your family through difficult times, or, you know, me as a little kid hearing that my parents were going to be ministers, and who knows what God is going to do. And it was really special. And then lastly, we remembered there was a family, they have 10 kids, and we our two girls are pen pals with two of the sisters in the group. And we said, you know, I think they're in Oklahoma City or somewhere around here. So we drove by and we got to have church with them on a Sunday. Kids play in the fields, and then we, on Saturday, and then Sunday we got to have a church right in their home and break bread with them. And it was very special. But I think most of the places we went besides the Creation Museum were pretty much spur of the moment. As the opportunity arose and we were able to minister or visit something, we just did it. And that kind of goes against my way of thinking, which is like liking to have things organized, but having three kids has softened me a little bit, especially with the three that we were blessed with. They keep us a little more flexible than we were before. I noticed that when we got back, something had changed. And I noticed that right away, when we got to our driveway, and we got this, I don't know, 30, 40 yard driveway that right at the top gets very steep. And for the last couple months, the driveway was a danger zone where you had to be alert and know what you're getting yourself into. And all of a sudden we drive up and it's a dry driveway. And I'm going, whoa, the season's changed. Something's different around here. I remember one time we were up there on a New Year's Eve, which my birthday is December 30th, so we were up there for my birthday, and one of the college-age kids was up with us. And late at night, we were all just playing around, sitting in the living room, and we saw headlights coming up our driveway, and nobody comes up our driveway. It's like end of the road, last stop, no reason for anyone to be up there, so I throw on my shoes and I go run down to see who's coming up. Well, my mom gets scared and tells this college-age kid, you need to go out there and help Tim. He might need protection or something. And so this poor young man comes running down the driveway, New Year's Eve, which is all ice. And this poor couple, it's an older couple who had got lost. They came up our driveway and slid down and got jackknifed in the driveway. So this poor young man, I hear him running around the corner. And by the time he, and the headlights are, you know, hitting him. By the time he figures out he needs to stop, it's whoop. And whacks his head right on the thing. So the poor lady, she jumps out. He goes, oh my goodness, and whoop, she falls on the ground. And the poor old gentleman, he starts to get out of the car. Honey, honey, and I go, sir, just stay in the car. I got some spikes on my shoes. Let me go help your wife. And, you know, all of a sudden, it's like I'm walking down the driveway going, it's dry. The seasons have changed. There's things that we couldn't do before that we can do now. And there's things that we could do before, which would be painful to slide down that driveway now. So I want to talk to you guys this morning about the changing of the seasons and, more importantly, what God is doing. Now, who am I to say what God is doing? But the need that each one of us have to be attentive to what God is doing in each season. Here in the natural, you know, we have winter, spring, summer, and fall, and all you have to do is call. and each season has its associated weather patterns and length of day. But growing up in the Bay Area, you don't appreciate the seasons the same way as if you lived up here or in Wyoming. We drove through Wyoming and just, whoa, this is cold. I can't believe this. And the lady at the museum, oh, this is nothing. You should have been here last month when it was negative 20. Oh, wind chill factor? No, not wind chill factor. Whoa. Living up here, you guys sense the seasons more than certain other areas, namely the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, I didn't have a lot of preparations for the changing of the seasons. It was more, well, I guess I'll wear shorts today. There wasn't too much prep on the home. Now it's like, I'm saying, oh, when that mud dries up a little more, I'm gonna get the chains off the Caterpillar and get the snowblower attachment off and get the scoop back on, and it's time to start splitting the wood and lay it out, get it dried for the summer, and you know, all these things, the boards on the side of the house protecting the windows, and we gotta get that all taken off. And you hear around town less cars with their little, I don't know what you call them, those little ice studs, the studs on their tires. You start to hear less and less of that, and you start to hear it real loud because they're driving on the road now that's clear of snow. We need to learn that the seasons are going to change no matter how hard you fight it, and that they need to be respected. There's beauty in each season, and there's challenges in each season. Who created the seasons? God did. He created it. There's beauty in God's creation. It declares His glory. It declares His handiwork as we look at the seasons. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. How long will all this go on? As long as the earth remains. So if the earth is not remaining anymore, the seasons are over for us. Either way, what, as long as the earth remains, there will be the seasons, and they will change. There will be the heat and the cold, the summer, the winter, day and night, planting and harvest. Where I really want to go with this morning is how important it is to be able to recognize the changing of the season. So let's head over to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. We all know this passage. We're going to read verse 1 through 4. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." Verse 3. It says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind." Those who recognize God's way of doing things bear fruit and prosper. They prosper even in seasons where it seems highly unlikely that you could prosper during that season. And I think as I get to know you guys, I'm learning about different families who have prospered and learned how to prosper through difficult seasons. And yet, come out on the other side as the seasons change again to be able to raise their hand and say, God was faithful during that difficult season. And there was beauty along with the challenge of that difficult season. But what does this scripture passage say? The wicked, they get scattered by the wind. They're not like that tree that was described planted along the riverbank, with their leaves not withering and prospering in all they do. Those who recognize the season will stay encouraged because they'll know who is behind the season, who controls the seasons, who controls our destiny. Our life is in His hands. But those who don't recognize the seasons, they'll become discouraged as the challenges mount. God, why does it have to be so hard? And we get stuck in this mode of just wondering, what did we do to deserve this? And yet, God is in control of the seasons. What are our eyes on? What are we planted in? Are we planted in our plans, purposes, and pursuits? Or is our life planted in the unchanging Word of God? We want to live like we're in control of the seasons. The question is, what season is it? And by saying that, I'm saying, what is God doing and what is He about to do? We don't want to be stuck as Christians living in the last season. We see that sometimes, and it's painful to watch. I notice it a lot with young men who get married, and they still want to live like they're a teenager, they're in college age. And you watch, and you know, it's just kind of the natural flow of things. The wife is a lot more mature, and ready for family life, and it's just painful to watch sometimes, definitely. You know, growing up as a young man, seeing my friends get married, go, "Oh, bud, you can't come here anymore. You have a wife and kids. You can't come for the video game night or the movie night. You got a wife and kids." We all do that to some extent, where we find ourselves in a comfortable season, and we want to keep living like that season's going to go on forever. You know, my parents, Tim, enjoy these years with the kids. You'll never get them back. And you know, when you're in that season of all the stuff you got to do and all these things and the stresses pile up, and then someone older than you says, "Enjoy these years," you sit there and go, Well, that's easy for you to say. That's easy for you to say. You take them out and have a great time, and then you drop them off. Well, of course it. Trust me, Tim. Enjoy this season with them. You will look back and long for the closeness that you have. See the beauty in what God has given you in this season. And yet somehow we think that we deserve to be in the season that we want, the season that we declare. And it's, you know, kind of a visual of it. Imagine me going out to Nevada Beach in July dressed up with my snowboarding outfit. I'd turn heads because people would look and instantly say, that guy's in the wrong season. Or imagine me up on Sky Express with my shorts and my tank top sitting there. People would look and go, something's wrong with that guy. He's living in the wrong season. The seasons will change. God will see to it. The question is, will you recognize it and be ready to walk in it? I can't create a season. I can't. I can't declare when the season will change. But what we can do is keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to see us through each season, all the way to the end where we get called home and we enter a new season. Are we willing to keep our eyes on Him and walk and be a part of what He's doing? Let's look at the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Verse 21 and 22. It says this, talking about who controls the seasons. And He, God, changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Verse 22. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. This passage declares He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and puts kings in place. You can plan for some of the seasons. You know, there's some general seasons of life. Newborn, you know, toddler, childhood, teenagers. They're single, they're married, married with children. You know, there's some parts of life that you can kind of predict, but there's other parts. How do you think about Joseph? Could he have prepared himself for the seasons he was about to walk through? I mean, that poor guy, he went through some stuff. He went through some, when you think about his life in each of these different places, those were major changes from like the favorite child to thrown in a pit. You know, and you walk through each one, it's like, that poor guy was floating through the seasons, and it just seemed like every time he'd get ahead, it would all be taken from him. How do you prepare for something like that? And yet, God was preparing him. God had deposited things in Joseph's heart when he was young. Things that he didn't understand, or he thought he understood and made some enemies by preaching a little too loud and bold what he felt God was declaring. God was preparing him, and it was going to make sense to him in another season. But what do we see from the life of Joseph? What was the one thing that we see him doing in each season? Honoring God. Now, we don't get to hear all his conversations with the Lord. I'll bet you there was some similar conversations to what we have with God when we go through tough times. But we do see this in his life. Through each season, each stop along the way, he honored God. What would have been your favorite season to be in if you were Joseph? Some of us would have liked to be at home and be the favorite child. Some of us would have liked to be second in command of Egypt. I can't think of anyone who would wanted any of the in-between seasons. And yet, God was with him through each one and was preparing him for the next, and preparing him for the ultimate work of his life, which was to save his family in a difficult season. Think about Moses and the different seasons of his life. Which season of Moses would you like the best? For me, I'd like the one where he was out in the wilderness with his wife and family and little drama. Every time I read passages about Moses with the children of Israel leading them along and his difficulties, I just think, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not Moses. He had some times. He had some great times, but he had some rough seasons. And yet there was a very special season in Moses' life when he was out in the wilderness, married, his father-in-law. And one day he goes out and he sees something and he turns aside to see what that thing is. He was going to have an encounter with God that was about to radically change the season of his life. And he could not have prepared on the calendar for what was about to take place in his life. And as I was praying about this morning, I just felt that in my heart, God saying, it's time to come turn aside. You know, we get in our daily grind, our daily routines, and, you know, going on that trip to Kentucky, you know, radically changed the routine because, you know, you're not at home, you're not with the familiar, with you're in strange places. And yet, as I was praying, I feel God saying, come turn aside and see what I have to show you. See what I have to declare over you. See what the need is for this next season in the body of Christ. See what the need is in the next season for your nation. See what the need is for the next season in your children's lives, in your grandchildren's lives. God's plans and the new seasons that he calls us into always seem to involve trouble of some sort. But thank God that he's overcome the world. When is a good season to get that doctor's report? There's not a good season for it. There's not. When's the correct season to lose your job, to have a loved one pass away? When is a good season for the Caldor fire to sweep through? I mean, I guess you could say, well, in the middle of a rainstorm, let it start. It put out. But no, when is a good time for, quote, disaster to strike our lives? There's not. And yet, through each of the Joseph seasons that he went through, God was weeding out things that couldn't remain. God declares the end from the beginning, and he had things prepared for Joseph to do. But there was a weeding out. And many of the seasons that we go through in life, especially the difficult ones, expose inside of us things that need to be burned away, things that need to be plucked out and thrown in the fire pit. It's those Joseph seasons that separate those who are going to be used from those who God can't use. I wish it was another way, but God uses these difficult times to bring us close to him, to depend on him, and then be able to hear his voice, even when sometimes he asks us to do things that don't make any sense to yourself or even sometimes the people around you. God is saying to us, turn aside to see my fire. God desires to burn away that which is hindering us. Let's look at the book of Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. We're not to detest his corrections in our life. The course changes, where he says, yes, during this season you're going this way, but we're going to have a course correction. Why? Because I have something for you to do over here, and it's going to require you keeping your eyes on me, staying close to me, trusting me, just as a father in the son in whom he delights. Church, we could talk and read scriptures and preach all about the seasons, but if we fail to recognize the new season, how can we follow God? We can memorize every scripture that has to deal with the seasons, but if our eyes aren't on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, how can we recognize what God is doing? Matthew chapter 24, classic scripture, verse 32 and 33. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. And that was a specific thing that Jesus was talking about. And yet that's where many of us miss it. We realize that it's a new season, but we don't recognize it. And there's a world of difference between the two. For those of you, how many here have grandchildren? Let me see your hands. Okay. So it's pretty clear that most of you guys have seen the seasons of your children. Therefore, you've seen the seasons of some of your grandchildren. Therefore, you've seen a lot of seasons with your children. Sometimes we know that our kid is changing. They're going through a different time in life. And yet, can we recognize what God is wanting to do and what God is requiring from us towards our child in this new season? Realizing different than recognizing. Funny story. So, growing up in youth group, there was this family that was really close to us, and they'd come to all the summer camps, and the two daughters were me and my brother's age group, and so we hung out a lot together, and when my parents started their own church, this family would visit all the time, and the dad of this family and his brother would come play basketball with us. We'd rent this gym, and we'd play basketball, and his daughters would come. Well, every once in a while, the little cousins would come, and these little girls were like 7, 8 years old. Holly and Shannon. Remember, my brother would call Shannon Shenanigan. So every time I see Shannon, I want to say Shenanigan. I'm going to pass. So these two little girls would be hip-bopping around. Well, you know, 11, 12 years goes by, and one of the daughters, not Shannon and Holly, but one of the daughters that were in our age group, was getting married. So I go to the wedding, and I hadn't seen the dad of the two cousins for years. So I see him, and, oh, how are you? And we're just talking and stuff. Now, I realize the season has changed. It's been 10, 11 years. Place is crowded. Everyone's showing up for the wedding and saying hi to each other. And I don't know many people there because I don't know the extended family. But the dad says, in fact, look, there's Shannon right there. And I look over, and I realize that Shannon's going to look different. She's got to be 20, 19, 21 years old. And I see her walking towards me, smiling. So I leave the dad, and I run up to Shannon, and I go, Shannon! And I give her a hug, and I get a shoulder in my chin. And this lady squirms and goes the other way and says hi to someone else. And I turn around and I look at the dad, and he's red in the face, cracking up at me. That's not Shannon. Shannon's right there. It's one thing to realize that things have changed. It's another thing, kind of a silly story, but another thing to recognize what it is that you're seeing. Now forget my little example. These are things that we need the Holy Spirit for. Amen? There's changes in life, changes of the seasons, that if we try to do things in our natural mind, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. Thinking we're recognizing a move of God when we're about to get a slap in the face. The Holy Spirit will help you to recognize so that you don't embrace the wrong thing and thus miss out on what God is doing. What a shame to have the move of God pass through and to be struggling over here to produce a move of God. Wouldn't it be easier to recognize what God is doing? Amen? The Holy Spirit will help us recognize so we don't embrace the wrong thing. Last scripture, the book of Luke, chapter 9. Verse 61. Oh, I forgot Isaiah 55. Yeah, we got to read Isaiah 55. Kevin, sorry. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and 62. Talking about the move of God passing by and not recognizing, realizing it, but not recognizing it. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Ouch. That's a rough one, you know. It's like, the call's going out, come follow me. Let me first go say goodbye. This potential follower realized that there was a new season, but he couldn't recognize it. He couldn't recognize that this was a now or never moment in his life. Jesus was passing by and was calling him. And in his natural mind, it was, let me go say goodbye. Jesus knew what that was going to entail, the whole goodbye scene. He knew what that would entail. And he said, no. This is not the season right now for the goodbyes. It's the season to leave it all behind and to come follow me. The young man realized it was a new season, but he couldn't recognize it. He didn't do what we read in Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He realized there was a teacher, did he not? He realized that there was someone who was going to teach him. But he couldn't recognize the commitment that was being required of him in that new season of his life. Church, what has God placed in front of you to put your hands to? If you think about it, there's seasons in the life of the church in general. There's seasons in the life of a local church. That one local church will go through different seasons than another local church. But then there's also the seasons for the individuals in that church. What does God have in front of you for you to put your hands to? I heard the announcement for VBS. Do you guys know what a special thing you guys got going on here for VBS? Well, that's how we found this church. It was the VBS. And then that led to Awanas. And instantly we said, oh my goodness, here's a church that values the younger generation. We got three whippersnappers that need more than just mommy and daddy and grandpa and grandma valuing them. What a special thing to bring our three kids and have spiritual aunties and uncles challenging them, loving them. And sometimes, Teacher Miriam, Benji, do not touch your sister's food. Having the place in their life to bring a little correction. I heard, I think Ted was announcing, or maybe it was Jeff, that there's needs for VBS. Do you realize what God is doing in this church and in the community through this powerful thing that you guys have going on? Awanas with Kevin. You know, there's some, I've been around church people for a while, and sometimes people pigeonhole themselves and say, well, this is what I do in the church. That's a recipe for stagnation. That's a recipe for lukewarm. As the Spirit moves, as the seasons change, We need to have our spiritual ears open to hear, yes, this is what I'm currently doing in the church, but speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Remember the little boy Samuel? Realizing someone was calling him, but not recognizing it. This is what I do in the church, Lord, but speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Tim, I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to do this. I don't do that. What a statement of doubt that God in you, the one who created the heavens and the earth, couldn't use you. He could use a donkey, but for some reason he can't. No. God can use each one of us, even in areas where we don't think we have it to give. Kevin last week, what was he doing at church last week? He was preaching. Actually, he was doing a little bit of everything, but he was preaching. Where's Kevin right now? He's back behind the soundboard. That's the mentality of a son and a daughter of the Most High King. They say, God, where's the need? What would you have me do? I'm available for you to use. I don't even know anything about sound or some of the things that we get ourselves involved in, but you know what, God? Show me. I'm willing to learn. I'll close with a short story. I remember when I first became a minister in 2001, somewhere shortly thereafter, I was at my house and I was still living with Mom and Dad, and I got a phone call on the church line, so I answered it, and it was an older lady asking to see the pastor. Well, you know, my dad's the senior pastor, and you kind of get used to when people say they want to see the pastor, you know who they want to talk to. So I take her number, and, you know, I'm just chatting with her and stuff. I really need to speak to the pastor, and it's very important. So I figure out that this older lady is the grandma of that family I described where I hugged the wrong person. She's the grandma of these two young ladies that I grew up with in youth group. I go, oh, so we're chatting, and I've never met her before, but we're just having a great conversation. And I say, trust me, I'll make sure my dad gets the message, and I'll make sure my dad calls you. Because my dad's one of those types, you've got to really make sure, because he'll be off exploring something. So I hang up the phone, and a day goes by, and I'll always remember, I was out at this park where I like to do my prayer walks in the morning. And I get a call from my mom. My mom says, hey, Tim, I just spoke with this older lady, and you'll never believe what she needs. And I said, I know she needs to talk to Dad. He's the pastor, and she said she needed to talk to him. Well, change of plans, Tim. She's come down with cancer. Oh, no. And it's pretty serious. It's not looking so good. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I'm thinking, why is she telling me all this? She goes, and I just spoke with her and told her that this is my mom talking, that I would track down Dad and get him to call her. And she said, no, I want that young man to pray for me. And so my mom said, you need to call the family and set up a time to go visit her and go pray for her. Well, I'm like, oh no, this is not a good scenario. Her granddaughters are my friends that I grew up with in youth group. And this old lady wants me to go pray for her because she has cancer, and I go, you know what? I'm going to get out of my car and do a whole other prayer lap again because this is pretty serious. And so I'm walking around, I'm praying, I'm trying to like pump myself up, and all of a sudden I sit there and I'm looking out over the bay, and I just go, what do I know about cancer? What power do I have over anything? What am I pumping myself up to do? As if that I am going to somehow, with my mind and then all the fears hammering me from the back, actually going to do? I'm going about this the whole wrong way. And with me, when I go through challenging times, I like to go to the piano and write what God is putting on my heart. And I was out there praying, just saying, God, you've got to show me how to do this. I've never done this before. And I really think this lady's missing it. I really think she should be having Dad go pray for her, because that's what Dad does. And Dad's the pastor. And God put this thing in my heart that was a cry to be used by God. And sometimes in life, church, we look out at the situation with that grandchild, you know? We look at the situation with that child. We look at the situation with the doctor's report. And we feel that fear, that dread, that worry creeping over us. And yet, in the heart of a Christian, there should always be this desire that says, God, I want to be used by you. But I know I can't do this by might or by power. It's got to be by your Spirit. And so the Lord gave me this song, and I want you guys to listen to it, listen to the lyrics as we close. And I want this, as you hear it, I want you to ponder the season of life that you're in right now, and what is in front of you that you can put your hands to, no matter how scary it looks. Amen? Let's listen to this song.
Sometimes I long, or to fly like eagles fly. It seems like I'm responding to a call. And sometimes I long, or to run like the deer, and run until I've given it my all. Lord, I'm prepared to run for you. I'm not scared to fly for you.
Here it is.
Sometimes I long, or fly like eagles fly. It seems like I'm responding to a call. And sometimes I long, or run like the deer, and run until I've given it my all.
Dream what I could do.
Places them in the middle of a season. He has dreams for you. You're his son. You're his daughter. Remember that first time holding your firstborn? Your world just kind of goes, and all of a sudden you go, oh, your life took on a whole new meaning. We have a good father. If we know how to do some things good, think about the dreams that he has for his son and his daughter. They don't end. Church, let's not put ourselves in a box because of our physical limitations or financial limitations on what God can do. Remember in the Bible, the four lepers who, there was a siege going on, and these four lepers are sitting outside, and they're going, well, you know, we've got the enemy out here. We've got a famine going on in here. If we go into where the famine is, we're probably going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die. We've got leprosy. Let's go check on out what's going on over at the enemy's camp. Remember, they go out there, and they realize God had just moved. And they were the first ones to find out that God was moving. They recognized, while everyone else was holed up in the city, living in fear of this big bad enemy that was out there, putting God in a box of what he could or couldn't do. It took four lepers to sit here with all their treasure and food and go, you know, we feel kind of guilty. When everyone else is in there starving, we found what God just did. We need to go share the good news. And church, that's what I feel is for us this morning. Don't put God in a box based off your limitations. He's a limitless God. If he declares that he wants you to go do something, by all means, Lord, what would you do with you and me and I and you? Our job is to trust and obey, not to say, who am I to pray for someone who's sick? Church, we have the formula right here. Our job is not the results aren't in our hands. The obedience is our responsibility. The obedience to say, God, use me, a person who struggled with fear and doubt, to go pray for the sick. Use me, someone who struggles with dealing with little kids, to be a blessing at VBS. I didn't really finish the story, but years later, people would come over to my house and they'd say, Tim, what's this picture of this lady on your desk? Like, oh, that's Grandma Rose. Who's Grandma Rose? And I'd tell them the story, and they'd go, and she's still alive. God healed her. And she's still alive. And she gave me a little picture. And you know what that picture reminds me of? I don't have to know it all. I don't have to see all the ins and outs of each season on how we're going to correct this child, this job situation, this country. Our job is to say, God, let us be your hands and feet. Where do you want these hands? It was a blessing this morning to be in prayer with Sister Linda and the crew praying. Church, we have what it takes to pray for the sick. We have what it takes. You know, you see the little cards and the prayer requests. You know, maybe the Holy Spirit is challenging some of us to say, you feel like writing a prayer request. I'm calling you to go pray for someone who's going through what you're going through. And not selling ourselves short, not selling our brothers and sisters in Christ short, and say, you know what? They don't need the more established minister. They need God. They don't need me to memorize every scripture on healing or every scripture on finances, every scripture on this phase of raising kids. They don't need that. What they need is the touch of Jesus Christ in their life. God has told us we can be his hands and feet. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you have chosen us, that we would bear fruit, and that the fruit should remain. Father God, we repent for the times that we've, in foolishness, limited you because of our weaknesses, and limited you because of our fears. Father God, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what your word is saying in our life. Holy Spirit, we need your direction. We need your direction to recognize what it is that the Word of God is speaking to us. Holy Spirit, we need to recognize where the season has changed, and we need to shift our focus to what Christ is doing. Help us have sensitive ears and sensitive eyes. We rebuke doubt in the name of Jesus. We rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we declare in the name of Jesus, Lord, you are going to have your way in our lives, and you're going to have your way in this church, Lord. We will not make decisions based off fear, but by every word we come out of your mouth, we trust you, Lord. We can't wait to pray this week and read your word this week and see what your dream is for our life this week. No matter how old or how young, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.